Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com, or you can head over to your app store and search Rock C3 for our app. This week, Pastor Josh is wrapping up our series called God Matters, and he will be explaining why rest and reflection matter. Enjoy the message!
Well, good morning, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? Good? Good. Good to see you guys today, and definitely want to welcome you guys, and also want to give a shout out to everybody at our other campuses. I know we got people at the C3 Coffee Bar right now, and we have people joining us online, so do me a favor, and let's just welcome everybody who is with us that way. So, man, I hope that you're having a good Labor Day weekend, right? You know, Labor Day, it's one of those times of the year. It's the unofficial end of summer and beginning of fall, right? And we all get that, and we all know it's that time of year for really two reasons. One, college football is in full force, right? Like, how many of y'all watched some college football yesterday? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you watched them, how many of y'all were disappointed at your college football yesterday? Yeah, like, it's okay to admit it, right? Like, sometimes our teams don't win the way we want them to, but it was still great watching them. And so this time of year, Labor Day weekend, we know is the beginning of college football, but we also know it's the beginning of the fall, not because of college football, but because we all also watch Ed all the time, right? How many of y'all been watching Weatherman Ed lately, right? Like, Ed, I don't know if you're paying attention right now at the Rock Church. I don't know if you're watching online, but I just want to tell you something. As much as I love you, I don't want to see you, okay? And for those of you who do not know who Ed is, it means that you haven't been through a hurricane season in Horry County yet. Man, can we not get a break, right? Like, how many of you all have already been watching a little bit of Dorian action, right? You know what I mean? And honestly, I've got PTSD from Florence, okay? So I am just basically trying to ignore all that right now because I need a break from it. I want to rest from it. And honestly, that's what we're going to talk about, okay? Because Labor Day, although it's unofficial end of summer, beginning of fall, the reason it was invented was back in 1894. There was some men and women who had been working in the industry. And because in Industrial Revolution and all that, a lot of men were at work in factories, and they were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, in bad conditions, unsafe conditions, and they were basically falling out because of heat exhaustion and bad safety measures, stuff like that. So what ended up happening is people started to riot, they started to boycott, started doing all that, and eventually Congress said, we need to create a day, and we'll call it Labor Day, because we need to help everybody understand that everyone needs a day off, all right? And how many of y'all would agree that you need a day off, right? Like I think we're all there that we're like, I want a day off. And it's one of those weird things. I don't know like when it happens, but at some point, like, we know we want a day off, but we're unwilling to take it, right? Like we struggle sometimes. And the bottom line is we all need it. We all need a day of rest. How many of you all would love to be treated like a child, meaning this, that somebody would give you some warm milk and put you down to bed, right? You know what I'm saying? But when is it? Like, as a kid, when you tell a kid it's nap time, like, they kick and scream, right? They're like, I don't want a nap, right? But at some point in life, I don't know if it's when you hit 12, 13, 14, somewhere around in there, all of a sudden it changes, and we're like, please, let me take a nap. Let me relax a little bit. Let me take a break, all right? Because we need it. We need that in our lives. And God knew that about us. That God knew that each and every one of us need rest. We're in this series. We're going to wrap it up today. We've been hitting this idea of God matters. And we've been talking about it out of the Ten Commandments, what we like to call the Ten Commandments. They are things that God gave us. You could call them a commandment. You could call it a great principle that he's saying, if you'll put these 10 principles into your life, these 10 things that I'm telling you, it will help your life to go better. And today, we're going to talk about the fourth commandment. Now, the fourth commandment is really what I'd call a swing commandment. Because if you've been with us for 3 weeks, you know that I've been saying the first four commandments are all about God. They're all about God, all helping us understand that he matters. And then the last six are all about people, about how people matter. And we're going to get to those later on in the fall. This commandment today, I call it the swing commandment because it is a commandment that is all about how God matters, yet it is for our benefit and helps us understand that we matter. And this commandment is all about the fact that we need rest. All right, so here's what I'm going to tell you for the next 25 minutes I'm in front of you. All I'm really trying to do is tell you, take a break. Rest. If you fall asleep while I'm preaching today, it's great. I'm going to say I've done my job, okay? So even kids, if you're in the room, you're like, Mom, you can't poke me today. You can't pinch me. Preacher just said I can sleep in church today, okay? Because the commandment is really about rest. Because we need a rhythm break. Because we've put ourselves in such a rhythm that we're running around like mad and we're never taking breaks in life. And God says you cannot go through life that way. So we need to change our rhythm. Let's look at actually what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord our God, the Lord your God. All right, now let's just break this verse apart for a second, okay? If we could do this, observe, all right? The idea there is focus in on this. Set it apart as significant is what a dictionary definition of observe would mean. The Sabbath, all right? Here's a big question. A lot of people go, what in the world is Sabbath, right? Chances are many of you all think Sabbath means Saturday, right? And if that's what you think it means, if that's in your brain, that's okay because that's what most people think Sabbath means. That's not what the word, if you were to go back to the Hebrew language, which is what the Old Testament was written in, the word Sabbath comes from a word, I don't know how to pronounce it, I don't think anybody does. It's kind of like Sabbath or something like that, Sabbath. But it really means rest. That's all it means, all right? That the word Sabbath, if you were to translate it, it simply means rest. That's all it means. All right, so read it that way. Observe, understand the significance of rest, of a day of rest, and keep that day of rest holy. If you're here 2 weeks ago, we talked about that word holy, and what that word holy really means is separate, that you got to keep it set apart. So what God is telling us here is he's saying that you need to take a day of rest and keep it holy, keep it separate, all right? Now, the Jews, back when they did this, they understood that. They took it as Saturday, all right? And they did it based off this next part of the verse. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. That they would basically say, for the first 6 days of the week, we work, and on the seventh day, we rest, all right? And for them, that would have been Saturday. It technically started Friday night at 6 p.m. and would go through Saturday night at 6 p.m. That's how their calendars and how their days worked, all right? But I want to say all of us, but I can at least say for most of us who I know are listening, that we don't come from a Jewish background. So when we look at our work week, for the majority of us, for years in America, we would say work was basically Monday through Friday and maybe Saturday, and then we took Sunday as a day off, all right? How many of y'all grew up in the days when Sunday was like everything was closed, right? You remember that? Like some of y'all, like your grandma or your grandpa, they would tell you on Sunday you can't do anything. I've heard things like this. You can do everything except play cards and fish on Sunday. Right? Like, I think that's an Horry County thing because I had never heard that before I moved here. But anyway, it was like one of those things that for those first 6 days you could do stuff and then on Sunday you couldn't, all right? Now, Well, let's just be honest. Culture has changed. All right? We are a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week culture in America now, all right? For those of you who work in the first responders, whether that's firefighter, ambulance, police officers, you know, there's Sundays you got to work, all right? For those of you who work in the service industry, like at the beach, there's Sundays that you've got to work, all right? So we know that our culture has changed. Well, does that mean, therefore, we don't have to take a day of rest? No, it hadn't changed there. God is still saying we got to take a day of rest. God wasn't saying you have to take Saturday as your day of rest, or God wasn't even saying you have to take Sunday as your day of rest. What God was saying is you need to make sure that you put a rhythm in your life where you are resting. That's why he's saying it here. You have 6 days each week of ordinary work, but on the seventh day, rest. He was saying this to the Jewish people because he knew this was something that would be new to them because they had just come out of slavery. For 400 years, they'd been slaves of the Egyptians, and they had worked 7 days a week, sun up to sundown. That's how they lived their life. And now they are their own nation, and what God is trying to let them know is, listen, you're no longer slaves. You no longer have to work 7 days a week. You can actually take a break. All right? And think about this. If God was saying that to the Israelites, how much more does that make sense to us today? Because for those guys back then, when the sun went down, the day ended. But for us, when the sun goes down, oh, the night's still young, isn't it? Right? Because today, we take in more information than any other generation ever has. Statistically speaking, I've looked at some statistics lately, that there's some statistics that will show us how ingrained we are to work or to be connected, to continue working, whether that's physically or mentally. Physically working, we will spend 1/3 of our lives on the job site. Whatever your job is, you're going to spend 1/3 of your life doing it. All right, and then you can throw in the mental side as well, that today, every day, you consume 5 times more information than your grandparents did. We consume 5 times more information today, every day, than we did 50 years ago in a day. Yet, we sleep on average 3 hours less. Now, I want you to think about that. That means we're taking in a whole lot of information, but we're never going to bed to sleep where you can flush the information. See, when you go to bed, when you sleep, what it actually allows your brain to do is flush. It allows your brain to get rid of the things that aren't needed anymore, all right? But we started sleeping less, but taking in more information, which means we are constantly connected. 42% of your waking hours, you are going to spend staring at a screen, whether that's a TV screen, a projector screen, a digital device like your phone or your iPad, 42% of the time that you're awake. 11 hours a day, you are going to consume some type of media. That might just be music, it might be a movie, it might be whatever it is, but 11 hours a day, we're going to be consuming. The bottom line is there has to come a point where we rest our lives. And we have to so that we can refuel. We have to rest so that we can refuel. And I think that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you talk to any doctor or coach or something like that, they're going to tell you at some point you have to rest your body or it'll become unhealthy. That if you don't take time to rest, think weightlifting, all right? If you like to lift weights, which I do not, all right? But some of you like to lift weights. That you know that if you lift weights on the next day, you shouldn't lift the same body part because your muscles need a chance to breathe and to take a break. Talk to an educator or a counselor. They're going to say that you have to rest your mind so that you can have a mental break. You talk to a counselor or a pastor, we're going to say that you have to rest yourself spiritually so that you can have a break that way. That there's physical reasons for rest, there's mental reasons for rest, there's spiritual reasons for rest. That we have to rest so that we can refuel. But unfortunately, we don't. Let's just be honest. Let's just call it like it is. Most of us don't take breaks. Why? Why don't we? I think sometimes we simply don't take breaks because we're afraid of missing out. Right? this generation especially, I know this is true, that you're afraid of missing out. Like if I actually put my phone up for a while, like I might get a text and I might not be able to reply right away. Maybe my friends will start going and doing something and then I'm going to miss out. That we're afraid to take breaks because we're afraid of missing out on something. That we're afraid to take some time to rest because we're afraid that somebody else will get ahead, right? Like we're afraid of missing out, but we're also afraid of somebody else getting ahead. Like if I actually take a break, then that person I work with, then they might actually have the conversation with the boss and they might actually get the promotion. And I don't want that to happen. I want to have the promotion. So I'm not going to take a break. I'm not going to take a chance to refuel myself and refresh myself so that I can be sharper. And what you actually become is much duller. That we have to take breaks to refuel. So how do you do it? How or why should you do it? Why should you enjoy this? Well, because God said he's given it to us. Look at this verse, Exodus chapter 16, verse 29. It says, the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That God is saying, listen, I care about you, I love you, I want to give you something. So he gives us a day of rest. In Mark 2, this was Jesus speaking. He says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. All right. What happened is some people were looking at Jesus and say, whoa, it seems like you're working on the Sabbath. And he's like, time out. Don't you realize that the Sabbath was made for man? Meaning that rest is made for us, not man made for rest. So why don't we, or how do we, maybe is a better way for me to say, how do we actually take a day of rest? I'd say, well, one, we got to change our rhythms so that we can refuel by shutting down and shutting off. And when you think about this, you have to change your rhythm. You have to change your rhythm. That you have to put it into play. Not just good intentions, but have a rhythm of shutting down and shutting off. Well, what do I mean by shutting down? Well, whatever your job is, you got to figure out a way to put it into your schedule, a rhythm of not doing your job. All right? And if you're a person that clocks in and clocks out, maybe that's a little bit easier because you're like, I'm not going to go in and not going to clock in. All right? Others of you work on salary and it's a little bit difficult in other situations, but we got to figure out a way to shut down, to stop doing that very same thing. All right? I was talking to a mom Thursday night after service and her kid was running down. She's like, how do I shut that down? Okay? I said, we got to figure out a way. You got to figure out a way when they're asleep, when they're taking their nap, doing something, that we've got to shut down, that we've got to change from our daily normal activity, all right? And for everybody, this is going to be different. It is. For everybody, it's going to be different. For me, I shut down by going golfing, by going and sitting on the beach, by going fishing. Like, I love to be outside doing things with my hands. That's how I shut down. And for you, it might be that kind of life. It might be something totally different. It might be vegging out on your couch. It might be playing video games. Whatever it is, figure out a way to change your daily activity that you put into your week, a day that you can shut down. All right? This is something I have found, and I definitely found it for myself, but I've read about it in some other books as well, that typically you'll shut down best when you do something that is opposite of your daily activity. Meaning this, in my line of work, I work mostly with my brain. Like most of my work is done in my headspace. Meaning I'm preparing for messages, I'm studying, I'm thinking about our church and where God has taken us. I'm working with staff and we're wrestling through like how do we best do this. I'm helping people as you're walking through things. And from a counseling standpoint, that most of my work is done in my head. So when I go home, I want to check out of this space and therefore I start using my hands. That's the reason I'm outside playing golf, outside fishing, outside working in my yard. I want to do something with my hands because I want to take a total mental break, all right? So if you work primarily with your brain, then chances are the best way for you to take a rest is with your hands. If you work primarily with your hands, then you figure out ways to take a break with your mind, all right? Well, and that might be being creative, doing crossword puzzles, whatever it might be, that your break is, I'm going to read, I'm going to do something because I want to jump in and use my brain rather than my hands. I can't tell you what it is for you, but I can tell you this, you've got to shut down the normal daily activities and do something different. And if that is napping, then nap. okay? Preach, right? You go ahead, just say what it is, all right? It's a godly thing to nap, all right? Quote of the week. The second thing you got to do, though, is you also got to shut off. You got to shut off. This is where it becomes more difficult, because what it really means is you got to take this and you got to shelf it. You got to take that phone and you got to put it on do not disturb, all right? Well, I'd say do one better, put it on I'm driving mode, all right? That manually set your phone to I'm driving. That way when somebody texts you, they get a message saying I'm not available, all right? You can manually change that message to say whatever you want it to say. Call so-and-so, I'm not available. Do whatever you want, okay? That's what mine says right now. I'll be honest, if you text me right now, it's going to say I'm not available, all right? But you've got to figure out times to do that. That you've got to shut down your digital devices. All right? And I know what'll happen. You'll put it on the shelf and all of a sudden you'll go, I just felt my pocket ring, right? You get ghost vibration. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, what? You know what I mean? And we're afraid to do that, but we have to do it. And whether that's the phone, whether that's the iPad, you've got to figure out a way. How do I shut off? I've got to shut off. Because I've got to remove my brain from the activities that are daily happening. And I've got to remove myself from the possibility of getting a text that says I have to reply to this immediately. All right? If it's an emergency, they will figure out how to get to you. They will. If it's a 911. If it's not, you need to put that stuff away. Because we've got to figure out a way to shut down and shut off. But I got to go on to the most important part of that. That shutting down and shutting off is only one aspect of it. Because when you shut down and when you shut off, what you do next is the critical piece. Because if you don't, you won't ever rest. See, I got to rest to refuel, but then I have to reflect so that I can rest. I have to have a rhythm of reflection so that I can rest. Look at this verse again, all right? I read the first part earlier. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day, look at this part here, the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God, all right? Dedicated to the Lord your God. That if we don't spend that time resting and reflecting on God, then I'll be honest, you'll never rest. Because here's what will happen. Yesterday, I was taking a day of rest. I was spending some time with my wife. And the first thing I happened in the morning is I start getting some text about Dorian, right? And I start thinking about the hurricane and my brain starts going there. And I just went, shut it off. See, immediately what I did, I said, I got to shut it off. Because if I spend my morning reflecting on the possibility of a hurricane that we have no clue whether it's going to hit or not, if I spend my whole morning doing that, then all I've done is stress myself out and totally ignored my family who I was supposed to be eating breakfast with. You see what I'm getting at? That's the reason it's critical that when we spend some time resting, we spend time reflecting on the Lord. That we allow our brain to go to God, all right? That God was saying this, when you take your time of rest, it's not just so that you can get away, it's so that you can get away and think about me. That's why we put church into that rhythm of rest, because we're saying, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to spend time remembering and reflecting on what God has done. And that's what he told the Israelites. The very next part of the verse says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. That when we're taking a time of rest, we need to reflect on the Lord, because it is the Lord who can handle your problems. Think about it this way. God created the whole earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. If he can do that, then he can manage your whole world in 6 days. Okay? That if God can create the whole world in 6 days, then he can manage your world in 6 days. That he can manage your world. So on that seventh day, you can take a rest because you know that he is still in control. And I can remember that just as he showed up for the Israelites, just as he moved on their behalf, he can move on your behalf. So on that day of rest, what you should do, what I should do, is remember how the Lord has moved on my behalf. That just as the Lord rescued the Israelites, maybe I should spend some time remembering the Lord rescued me from my sin. Maybe you should say the Lord rescued me from my addiction. The Lord rescued me from my poverty. The Lord rescued me from my depression. The Lord rescued me from that sin habit. The Lord saved my kids. The Lord saved my family. The Lord saved my marriage. The Lord rescued me from this health issue. That I should spend my day of rest remembering that the Lord has the ability and has already moved on my behalf, but also has the ability to continue to move on my behalf. If you don't set your mind to that, maybe I can't say this for you. Maybe I can only claim it for me. Let me just put it on me. That if I don't set my mind to the Lord, then I set my mind to myself and to my own situation, and that day of rest becomes a day of stress. But if I'll set my mind on the Lord and reflect on Him and what He has done, then that day of reflection turns into a day of rest. And that's what I want for you. I want each and every one of us to turn it over to God and to say, God, just as you moved in the past, I believe you can still move today. That I can give this to you today, that I'm going into to whatever it is that day that you've said, this is my day. For me, it's primarily Fridays. That's my primary day of rest. And when I look at my Friday, I want to go into that day and I just want to hand it all to the Lord. And for you, figuring out what that day is, if it's Sunday, it's Sunday. If it's a different day, figure out what day it is that you can spend some time resting in the Lord. And as you rest, hand it to Him and say, God, I'm giving this to you right now so that I can rest and be refueled for what's coming tomorrow. And what Jesus wants to do is He wants to take it. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. These are Jesus' very own words that we have preserved. It says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That you can go to Jesus and give Him whatever is on your heart. And when you give Him that, then you can take some time and rest. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to enter into that rest. Look at what it says in Hebrews. God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. So let us do our best to enter that rest. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to move into a time of response right now. And as we move into this time of response, I want us to realize that rest and reflection, they matter. They matter. Because God matters. Rest and reflection matter because God matters. That because of who God is and what He's done and what He's willing to do for you, you can rest. Which shows you that you matter. Because God matters, and because you matter, you can rest. So we're going to do this, and we're going to do this maybe a little different than we typically do here at The Rock. That the band's going to come out in a second, and they're just going to play some music underneath us. And I know normally during this time we say stand up, and let's respond, and let's go to all the different corners of the room and do what the Lord calls you to do. But this morning I just want to challenge you, rest. Rest. And the way to rest is to reflect. Is to reflect. Reflect on the Lord. Shut down. Shut off. And reflect. Maybe use this time right now to remember what He has saved you from. Your sin, from hell. Maybe use this time to reflect on how He's moved in your life or your family's life when it comes to an illness or a job or a situation. Maybe during this time you realize that you've got some heavy burdens. And say this in your mind as you're just resting. Lord, you've already done this, so I give you this. Trusting that you'll do it again. that, God, you've already done this in my life. So I'm willing to give you this burden. I'm willing to give you this heavy weight that I'm carrying because I'm going to trust you that you're going to show up again. And when you give that to God, then you can find rest because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Enter into that rest. And then I also just have to say this, though, because I know there's some of you who, man, there is all kinds of conflict going on in your life right now. And I believe that conflict is there because you don't have the peace and the rest of Christ in your life. And that might be because of some sin habit that you've got going on and there's conflict. Or it might be because you've never given Jesus Christ your heart. You've never surrendered your life unto him. And I can promise you this, as long as you are running away from God and haven't surrendered to him, there is going to be all kinds of conflict and turmoil and problems and stress in your life. But when you come to Christ and you give that to him, you can enter into his rest. I'm not going to say there's not going to still be problems, but that conflict between you and God can be gone and you can have a peace and a rest, both on this side of eternity and on that side. Do your best to enter into his rest. So let's do that right now. Just as the band's just playing underneath us, we're just gonna spend some time. Eventually, Kalock will start singing, and when he starts singing, if you wanna stand up, you can. If you wanna come and take communion, you can. If you want to come over to the prayer corner, I'll be over there. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll be there. We've got people that will be in our connect corner that are willing to pray for you as well. Let's go into this time of rest. And I would encourage you during this time, put the phone down. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Get on your knees if you want. You do what you need to do. But let's rest for a while.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like information on how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.